Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
I remember being 8 years old and hearing something outside my window, and I look outside my window and it was him dressed in all brown, a brown jacket, brown pants, running away from our home. And upon, you know, further investigation, going underneath there and looking, my dad had found blankets, beer cans. This man was staying underneath of our home in the crawl space. Talk about creepy. I mean, I can still vividly picture seeing him running away. Like, I guess he had just come from underneath there, or maybe was peeking in the windows. You know, the police were notified and nothing came of that. You know, of course they tell us to put a trespassing, you know, order out on him, but nothing to my knowledge has ever been done to this man. The person that they had right there in front of them, you know, that had evidence, in my opinion, stacked up against him, they never pursued him. And I just don't know why.
On the evening of February 24th, 1995, 32-year-old Donna Gibson was at home in Louisa, Virginia, with her husband and four young children. Donna was sick that evening with a respiratory infection and chose to sleep on the couch. In the middle of the night, her children thought they saw Donna asleep and went quickly back to bed, but just several hours later, she had vanished. Though there was no evidence that Donna had been engaged in a fight or struggle, and no sign that anyone had broken into the home, Donna didn't vanish without a trace, and all signs have led her family to one person in the search for her more than 26 years later. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 284 of The Vanished, Donna Gibson's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Friday, February 24th, 1995, was supposed to be a quiet evening in the Gibson home. Donna had been sick and was sleeping on the couch, so the sounds of her coughing didn't wake up her husband or children. Donna's daughter, Trisha, originally reached out to us several months ago and asked us to cover her mom's story. We spoke to Trisha as well as her sisters, and we asked Trisha to walk us through what she remembers about that dreadful night more than 25 years ago.
I was only 8 years old when she disappeared. The night before, which was the 24th, my sister and I, Melissa, we were supposed to clean our room, and we ended up taking everything and throwing it on the bed. And my mom was upset with us, and she said, well, you're not going to sleep until you clean that room. Well, my dad overstepped her and said, nope, they're going to sleep with me tonight. So we slept with my dad, me and my sister did. And my mom had already had plans to sleep on the couch in the living room because she had laryngitis. She was in the living room asleep. We were on the total opposite end of the house asleep with my dad in the bed. And of course, Miranda was in there in her crib. And then my brother was in his room, which was closer to the living room. Anyways, I was the only one, supposedly, who woke up before everybody else did the next. I remember for some reason, I think it was around 6:30 in the morning. And I peeked in the living room to see if she was awake, because I was sneaking something to drink. I knew I shouldn't have gotten up and gotten something without, you know, permission. But I was sneaking in the fridge to get something to drink. And I remember peeking in the living room to see if she was awake. And I just saw, like, she was laying there, looked like a hump on the couch. So I got something and went back to bed.
Trisha thought her mom had been asleep on the couch. But when the rest of the family got up the next morning, the lumpy figure on the couch was not Donna.
Later on, I guess maybe 2 hours later, woke up. Me and my sister Melissa had gotten up, and my dad, we walk into the living room, and we go to jump on the couch to wake her up. And when we did, we just kind of sank through the sheets. It was actually pillows and blankets put there to look like she was laying there. So that's why I guess I had thought that was her sleeping there earlier. We realized she wasn't there, and we were just kind of like, well, where's she at? And so we, you know, we're looking around the house, and my dad, of course, went outside and was calling for her. And then a couple hours started going by, and we started thinking, okay, something's not right.
The pillows arranged into the form of a person sleeping on the couch was strange, something you would think of a teenager doing if they were sneaking out or running away. Not something you would think of a fully grown woman with young children doing, unless she was playing a joke or prank. But this was no prank or practical joke. Once Donna's husband realized that she was gone, but all of her things were still in the home, including her purse, cigarettes, and glasses, he knew that this was not something Donna would do if she actually intended to leave, and she would have never left her children. This was gravely concerning to Donna's husband, Jimmy, a man who often worked out of state and had 4 young children at home, and he knew he had to call the police. Here's Trisha again.
We started calling family members. My brother rode on his bike looking down the street. We called friends that lived, you know, nearby. Then my dad called the police and told them, and they said you have to wait about 24 hours to file a missing persons report. And so, like I said, we waited the 24 hours and then they ended up coming out. But in the meantime, my grandfather and my aunt on my dad's side, they had all came down from Maryland to Virginia to be with us because we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know where she was at, what happened. I mean, we still don't, but basically that was it until the police came. And when she left, we had everything, which made it really weird to us in the beginning when we found out she was gone. Her eyeglasses were still there at the house. Her contacts, which she needed at least one of those to be able to see. Her cigarette, she was a smoker. She wouldn't go anywhere without those. Those were left there. The only thing that was missing is the nightgown that she had on. I'm not sure if she was wearing a robe or not, but yeah, that the nightgown that she had on was the only thing that was gone. She even took a roast out for dinner the night before. She had plans of cooking a roast for dinner. So, I mean, all signs pointed to that she didn't plan on leaving that we know of. I've pondered it over the years. Everybody has, and everybody has their speculations. You know, one side of me thinks, okay, if she did leave, she might have done it because, you know, yeah, supposedly to friends and everybody like that, she wasn't happy being with my dad. So, you know, I can understand why she would feel like she would need to leave. I don't understand why she would leave a child as young as 18 months, but I know people have done that before, so I don't see her leaving without, I know this sounds crazy. I know, like, I could see her leaving her children more than I could see her leaving without her personal possessions, such as her glasses and her cigarettes. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's just the fact of the matter. As soon as, I guess, I don't want to say as soon, but maybe a day after she, or a couple days after she was gone, and we just started realizing, okay, nobody's seen her, nobody's heard from her.
Donna's youngest daughter, Miranda, was only 18 months old when her mom disappeared, and she has no memory of her mother at all. Still, her memory is filled with a lifetime of what others have shared with her about what took place that night. And when we talked to Miranda, she relayed that to us.
I was a baby. I was only 18 months old. It's hard. I don't know much. I don't have much details. I can only go by what other people have said, and that may or may not be the truth. I think my first memory was when I was like 5 or 6. And that was when we had already moved out of Bumpus, Virginia, and we moved to North Beach, Maryland. From what I've been told, it was that she was sick. She was suffering from like laryngitis or something like that. And so she was sleeping on the couch. And I believe my oldest sister, Trisha, I believe she was sick as well. And my dad wasn't feeling well either. So, again, my mom was sleeping on the couch, and my oldest brother, Randy, I believe he was sleeping in his room. I mean, I think it was just that we went to bed that night and we woke up the next morning and she was gone. Like, there was no trace of any type of struggle or anything like that. She basically, I mean, she left everything, her glasses, her cigarettes, her medication, everything was just left. From my understanding, my dad and my grandfather and my grandmother at the time, they all went looking for her. I mean, they went to neighbors and, you know, places that she frequently went to, and nobody had seen her. Nobody had heard from her. You know, they've tried reaching out to people who she had come in contact with, and nobody could really do any information as to where she was. And then they had gotten local law enforcement involved.
On the night that Donna Gibson disappeared, she was recovering, not just from a respiratory infection her daughters remember as maybe being laryngitis, but she was also recovering from the recent end of a relationship with a man who wasn't her husband. Her husband Jimmy was very hurt when he learned of her affair, but the two had resolved to repair their marriage and raise their young children together. Donna's children have been told that she had engaged in relationships outside of her marriage before, but by all accounts had committed to raising her children as a family with her husband. There was just one lingering problem for Donna, and it ultimately may have culminated in her disappearance. She had to obtain a restraining order against the man she had been seeing because he wouldn't leave her alone. When we talked to Tricia, she told us about this.
We started kind of putting two and two together, like, okay, maybe this guy Jerry had something to do with it, because actually, there was a lot of things. His name was Jerry Ray Hall, and he was, before she disappeared, and I don't know how long, you know, before, I want to say that they had relations for at least a good year before she disappeared. This man was, in my definition, the definition of evil. He would come to our home and peek through our windows. He wrote letters to my mom telling her how much he was infatuated with her, how he wanted to kill my father and run off with her. There was lots of things he did, red flags. Like I said, with the stalking, she did go. My father, he got sick and tired of the situation with him coming around her home. And so he told, you know, my mom, basically, look, you're going to go get a restraining order or a protection order on him. That way, if he comes back around, I'm calling the cops and he's going to be locked up. Well, she went and got that. And that was maybe a few months before she disappeared. She had told him she didn't want to have nothing else to do with him. That to us was definitely a red flag. I haven't been able to get the exact date yet from the sheriff's department for when that order was filed. A lot of their records have been purged since then. It's been so long. So I'm in the process of trying to get that from the police. But yeah, that was, I mean, from what everybody recalls, it definitely was filed a few months before she disappeared.
But Jerry wasn't complying with the order and continued to come around the house. In fact, he would later tell police openly that he had been at the Gibson house the night Donna vanished. Here's what Tricia's been told about that.
He has told the police several different stories in the beginning that he wasn't there and then he put himself there. He said that he was there that night. He came to talk to her. She came outside. She told him he had to be quiet because Jimmy was asleep in the room. And they talked and then he left. I remember being 8 years old and hearing something outside my window. And I look outside my window and it was him dressed in all brown, a brown jacket, brown pants, running away from our home. And upon, you know, further investigation, going underneath there and looking, my dad had found blankets, beer cans. This man was staying underneath of our home in the crawl space. Talk about creepy. I mean, I can still vividly picture seeing him running away. Like, I guess he had just come from underneath there or maybe was peeking in the windows.
Tricia vividly remembers seeing who she believes was Jerry outside a window of the family home. And her dad later found evidence that he may have been sleeping underneath the house. A revelation we found completely disturbing when we spoke to Miranda.
My oldest sister and my middle sister would kind of tell me stories that there was a certain gentleman in particular, you know, she would frequently hang out with and cheat on my dad with. And it was even said at one time, the man was like living underneath our house. I was terrified, of course, you know, once I kind of got old enough to know or to kind of understand what is going on. Because basically when I grew up, it was just like, my mom was gone. Like, she disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to her. Nobody knows. did she just run away or was she killed? Or we don't know. So just growing up, I just had my dad and my grandparents and my aunt. And to me, that was normal because I didn't know any otherwise.
Donna had been having an affair with Jerry Ray Hall for approximately a year prior to her disappearance. Her husband was aware of the relationship and was deeply hurt by it, but wanted to make their marriage work. Trisha told us what she knows about the relationship that Donna and Jerry had.
Unfortunately, I feel like I've blocked a lot of things out before that time, so I don't really have much to really tell you about her from my personal point of view, except for leading up to her disappearance. I know that she started having issues with being faithful to my dad. So I guess you could kind of label her as promiscuous, if that's the correct word, you know. She could be feisty at times from what I've heard in stories. There was a time where my dad did come home one night and she did not know he was coming home early. And he caught him inside the house with her. My brother had called him. So it wasn't a hearsay thing. It was a definite thing that people knew, you know, was going on. I don't think he handled it very well, to be honest, like anybody would, you know, finding that out. I know he was mad, angry, upset, but I think the number one thing for him was that he loved us kids and he wanted to try to make things stay together because of us. I had heard him say that. I had heard other people say that about him. So, you know, in my opinion, yeah, he was hurt. He was devastated. He was angry. He was mad. But for him, you know, the bigger picture was us.
Despite the devotion of Donna's husband to his wife and their children, the police seemed to focus their investigation on him, not only as the spouse of a missing woman, but also a spouse who may have held some resentment toward his wife for having an affair. But Donna's family dismissed this notion that Jimmy Gibson had anything to do with his wife's disappearance. And Donna and Jimmy's daughters told us that the investigators had their sights on the wrong man. This is what Trisha told us when we asked her about the law enforcement investigation.
You know, there's a lot of things they left out or didn't do that probably would have been crucial in this case, and we would have already known what, you know, would have happened. It was kind of like they wanted to just pin it on my dad, hang the story up, it's done, that's it. And unfortunately, it didn't go that way because I know people have their own opinions on things, but in my heart, I know he had nothing to do with it, and they had nothing against him. He had passed the, you know, the polygraph. I don't know. That bothers me to this day. The person that they had right there in front of them, you know, that had evidence, in my opinion, stacked up against them, which was Jerry Hall, they never pursued him. And I just don't know why. I don't know if it was just a case of we weren't from originally from that area. So it was like, I hate to put it in this term, but a good old boys, you know what I mean? Like, I hate saying that, but it's true. I don't know. And to this day, it bothers me. So that's why I'm trying to just get this out there to hopefully find out what really happened. I think he had something to do with it, Jerry Hall. I really do. I remember that they, of course, questioned my brother. They questioned me. They tried to coerce us into saying that our father did something, which, of course, wasn't true. And we hadn't seen anything. To my knowledge, they did look at the land, which were our home was surrounded by woods in the back of it. They went in the woods and looked. I had heard that the dog lost her scent at the end of the woods, which led out to a dirt road.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Donna's family didn't need law enforcement to convince them of her husband's innocence. All of Donna's daughters told us that their dad was committed to Donna and never wished any harm or ill will toward her. When we talked to Donna's third daughter, Miranda, this is what she told us about her dad.
As far as I know, they had a good marriage. My dad was a good man. He worked all the time. It really broke his heart when she was gone. There were nights where he would just sit up and cry, and he was just heartbroken that she was gone, or, you know, whether it was she left or if something had happened to her. Even after she went missing, my father still worked really hard to provide for us three girls and my brother Randy. And my dad, he worked a lot. I believe he worked out of town, so he was gone Monday through Friday, and then he would be home on the weekends with us. And then he had gotten sick with kidney failure, and he wasn't able to work as much because he had to go on dialysis. But no matter what, he always put us girls first, and he always made sure we were taken care of along with my grandparents and my aunt. They all made sure that us girls were taken care of, and we always knew that he was there and that he loved us. It was never a time that we thought anything, he could have done anything violent or anything of that nature, at least not from my standpoint. Up until he passed away, I mean, he did his best to take care of us. I mean, a single dad with three daughters, he really did his best. And then, you know, there are other people who insinuate that my father did it. But to us as a family, we don't feel like that's the case at all. He had passed two lie detector tests, so my father was completely cleared as a suspect. The gentleman who she was sleeping with at the time, he is currently in jail, and he refuses any attempts of trying to speak to us about anything regarding her.
Trisha told us that her father was someone she looked up to most in life, and that looking back as an adult, she sees how much emotional turmoil her dad had to go through with his medical issues and the trouble in his marriage to Donna.
My dad was a great guy, in my opinion. He raised us three girls when my mom disappeared, and not once did he, you know, object to doing that or pawn us off on anyone. He was a large man, probably about 400 pounds at that time. Him and my mom were together in 1995. And from what I've heard from others, a lot of them have said that she was unhappy in her marriage, and it was because mainly of his size, and she wasn't comfortable being with someone that size. You know, he had gained a lot of weight over the years, so it put a lot of stress on the marriage. And then, of course, when he found out that she was cheating on him, of course, that put a damper in the marriage as well. Overall, a lot of people say good things about my dad. He was very generous, loving, would give you the shirt off his back. I have an older brother. He's actually my half-brother. We had the same mom, but different dads. My dad started raising him when he met my mom when he was 4 years old. And his name is Randy. My dad, he worked and went to school, actually. And he did both of those things in Maryland, which was out of state at that time. And so he would travel about four and a half hours on the weekends and come home. Very rarely during the week would he come home, but usually he was just home during the weekends because it was such a far trip for him to travel between home and work and school. He was pretty much my everything. He passed away in 2006 at age 45 from renal kidney failure. When my dad passed, I had to get custody of my two sisters, and I ended up taking care of them until they were 18. So, yeah, it was definitely not something anybody plans on doing, but I just did what I had to do.
Jimmy died without ever knowing what happened to Donna and missed out on seeing his children grow up and start their own families. Donna's children see this reflected in their own lives, in the way that they choose to parent, having been left without either parent at such young ages. Donna's second daughter, Melissa, shared with us how this profoundly affected her life, having lost her mom when she was barely old enough to go to school.
You know, I was never taught how to mother because I didn't have that there, you know. I was never taught the things that I needed to be taught because I didn't have that mother. So now with me, I feel like I am a overly attached mother to both of my boys. It's, I guess, the hands that we were dealt. Everybody's dealt a certain type of hands, and we just happen to be the crappier end of hands. Just because you have a bad childhood doesn't mean that you let your whole life go to shit and commit crimes and this, that, the other. Because, I mean, look at our life and look at what happened. Because if you gloat on it, you're never going to succeed. I'm a very overly protective, overly, I guess, anxious. You know, every mom's anxious. Every mom, you know, is overwhelming. But, like, I will take it to an extreme. Like, if I feel for a second that my child is going to feel like they're abandoned, or anything along them lines, I will lose my shit. I will do whatever I got to do. So my parenting has been affected. I can't allow my children to ever feel like somebody has left them because of her. Because from my understanding, me and her were the closest. Apparently, I took it the hardest. So I'm sure when she did that, I'm sure she broke something in there that I don't ever want to visit, and it's never going to be touched. All the traumas in the family. Death is like just another day to us, you know. Trauma is just like another day to us. So when we do try to work through one problem, we've got like 65 more that come at us. So we just don't ever really get to work them all out. I didn't start going into therapy until I got up to what I think I started 5 years ago, dipping in and out of it. And then I'm going back now. So most of my life, my mind's been crazy. I didn't know where to place my anger, why I was always so mad and all that until I finally went to therapy.
The loss of their parents has affected each of Donna's daughters differently and uniquely. Trisha, barely an adult herself at the time her dad passed away, took on legal guardianship of her younger sisters and lost out on her own opportunities to do the things that young adults get to do in life. But Miranda was not even 2 years old when Donna disappeared. She told us that while she has none of her own memories of her mom, she thinks that may have spared her some of the devastation her sisters have experienced, but also made the loss of their dad even more painful.
I think being that I was so young, I don't feel like it affected me as bad as it did my sisters, because I grew up not knowing who she was, not having her there, so that I really didn't know what to miss. But having my dad until I was around 11 or 12, of course, I was heartbroken because my dad was gone and he was the only one that was there to take care of me. I feel like her missing and now my dad's gone, it affected me in a sense of I carry that over into my own parenting with my children. I have horrible anxiety about my parenting with my children. I always want to make sure that they know that I'm not going anywhere. I'm always going to be here, that I love them, that they're taken care of. I try to give them the security that I feel like I didn't have because I didn't have my mom or because I lost my dad at such a young age. Trisha and I are very close. She was my legal guardian until I was 18. When she was my guardian, I couldn't stand her, but that was because it was my sister basically being my mom. That was hard, and I was a very rebellious child. Now Trisha and I mean, we're very close. Melissa and I are very close, but Melissa and Trisha are not very close at all. It's kind of like Trisha's the super nice, nurturing one. Melissa is like the aggressive, forceful one. And I'm just kind of in the middle. Even though I'm the baby sister, I'm like in the middle. I'm a little bit of both of them.
Unfortunately, it seems as though the police were never interested in looking past Donna's husband, Jimmy Gibson. And Trisha shared with us some of the awful things that were said to her dad about why her mom was missing and unlikely to be found. Even today, she feels as though the investigation barely exists.
They even went as far as just saying, like, really disgusting comments to my dad, even in front of us. Like, for instance, yeah, she was, excuse my language, but this is what they said. She was screwing everybody in town, so she's probably laid up in a cornfield somewhere. Things to that extent. I mean, it just, there was no professionalism whatsoever with this police department. And it was extremely small, you know, town and things like that, which I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm just saying you tend to see that in your smaller police, you know, departments. It's just like they just didn't care. That's how we've always felt the whole time, is just they didn't care. And even to this day, in a sense, I still feel like they don't care, because I've been sitting here for over a month calling the investigators, calling the police department every single day or every other day at least, leaving voicemails. They will not return my phone call. They will not call me back. I spoke with someone this morning in the records department. She said, oh, I'll make sure they call you. That's not like them to not return phone calls. Well, I still haven't heard anything. So, and I even gave them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to lie, with the COVID and stuff, I said, well, maybe, you know, different things, but it's like nobody wants to reach back out to me. And I just don't understand. You know, I know to them it's a case that who cares, you know, it's no big deal. It's 1995. You know, that sucks.
The Louisa County Sheriff's Office denied our records request and ignored our requests for an interview. But the letter we received denying our records request contains one very telling line. It reads, "The information requested has been withheld under Virginia law regarding evidence relating to a criminal investigation or prosecution." Is there an ongoing criminal investigation? Donna's family hasn't ever been given this information, but hope that Donna's case is actively being worked by investigators. To this day, Donna is still not listed in the NamUs database. We also know from Donna's family that law enforcement has routinely checked to see if there has been any activity under Donna's Social Security number, and it hasn't been used since the time of her disappearance. Despite the intense investigation into Donna's husband, Trisha and her family believe that Jerry Ray Hall should be the focus of the investigation and acknowledge that the police did look into his possible involvement.
Well, the police supposedly searched, didn't find anything against him. I think they gave him a polygraph test. I'm not sure what the exact results were. I know they gave my dad polygraph tests 3 times. He passed all 3. Unfortunately, the police department, in my opinion, they were not as professional and very proficient like they should have been. 7 years ago, I think they tried speaking with him when he was in prison. Of course, he's been in trouble his whole life. He was in prison for something, and the investigators went to speak with him about, you know, the case. And supposedly he totally broke down, shut down, got all upset, you know, and his psychiatrist came in and told the detectives and the investigators that they had to leave. She wasn't going to allow the interview to go on any longer. It was just upsetting him too much. So, I mean, I'm sure I don't even know everything he's done. I know that when this first happened, of course, with her relations with him, we thought that he had done it. But also because we had heard a lot of rumors that he had even attempted to rape his own niece. She was like 12 or 13 years old at the time. You know, he just wasn't a good man. That's why the only way I can describe him is just evil. When my mom disappeared, my brother and I were at the bus stop about a month later, and he came driving down the road and tried to act like he was going to try and run us over at our bus stop. So it was pretty crazy things that he did. Insane, I would say, almost. And you would think something would have been done about it, but nothing was, unfortunately. He is, to my knowledge, in Augusta Correctional Facility, and he will be there until 2028. So he's locked up, thank goodness.
Though we weren't able to interview law enforcement, Donna's second daughter, Melissa, told us about an exceptionally disturbing experience she had firsthand with Douglas Hall, the brother of the man that Donna had been seeing.
Nobody other than us has tried to look into it any further. There's been multiple occasions where I've spoke to detective, which I cannot think of their name for the life of me, where they would come to my house and, you know, trying to get this case reopened and looked into. I went to the nursing home where his brother is, because the guy that I think did it, you know, murdered her or did whatever to her, is still in prison. But his brother, I went in there and his brother thought I was hurt. And he slipped up and had said, you know, my brother gutted her like a pig and filled her with cement and buried her under this harbor or something. And he stopped and he was like, if he was guilty, that's what he would have done. That's what I think he would have done. So it's like he spit it out, but caught himself and tried to fix it. But it was too late because I'd already heard it. So I did let the, you know, investigators know that. And apparently they went and searched that area and didn't find anything. But after that, it was kind of like they told me they went and talked to the guy, you know, the person I suspect, and that guy had told them what's done is done. You know, my past is my past. I'm slowly dying. Don't ever come back. And that was it. So we kind of just got forgot about again for now this many years. And I feel like with social media, like the podcast and Facebook and unsolved cases and things like that, getting that out more to more people, somebody knows something.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
You aren't sleeping, and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me, so I cleared out my cabinet and reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. Their deep sleep gummies are amazing. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm. 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity. And an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is a source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code VANISHED for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code VANISHED. cbdistillery.com.
Donna's case has several unique aspects that stood out to us as we researched her disappearance. We know that Donna had tried to end her relationship with Jerry Hall, and that she had obtained a protective order against him. We also know from what her daughter shared with us that they believe that Jerry wasn't the only man that Donna had a relationship with outside of her marriage. We wanted to delve deeper into this because it seemed as though Donna was looking for something in her life, something that she hadn't been able to find. Relying on the memory of Donna's oldest daughter, Trisha, we asked her to share with us what she knows of Donna's early life. This is what she told us.
So I don't think she had necessarily the greatest life coming up. I do know that I was told that her mother had numerous children. I want to say 12 or 13. At one point in time, her mother had actually went missing. She just left all of her kids, gave them up and just disappeared and then came back later on in my mom's life. I'm not sure the total details of that. That's just basically all I know. So therefore, she was kind of I guess you could say, maybe passed around, unfortunately. Like I said, just not the best upbringing, in my personal opinion. Before she met my dad, she was involved with, of course, Randy's father, and he wasn't necessarily a very good person. His father, though, I've never, ever heard a good thing about him, unfortunately. Never wanted to really be in Randy's life. I don't know how she met him, where she met him, anything like that. When she met my dad, he kind of took Randy in, and I think she kind of started changing her demeanor with things. She still had a quick temper, from what I was told. She was quick to say how she felt about something. But I think she kind of settled down a little bit, especially when she was pregnant with me. They started making a family and got married and things like that. And then, you know, she had my other sister. And so I think as her life went on, she really tried to settle down more, become more of a mom figure in a sense. As for her early, you know, life being a child, teenager, things like that, I just don't feel like she had the best life.
There aren't many relatives to speak with, despite the fact that Donna has a dozen siblings. Years have passed, memories have faded, and relationships have become estranged. Trisha told us what her experiences have been in trying to forge connections with Donna's brothers and sisters, connections that were lost over the years after she vanished.
This is embarrassing, but I only know a few of them because I've been told their name, and of course, I Facebooked them. I don't know all of them. I just know a few, and I don't know them like that. I just know, you know, like this one by name, that one by name. We never really were involved with them, especially after she became missing. Her side of the family just kind of, and I hate to say it, but kind of just shunned us off. Like they've never called us, reached out to us, nothing like that. We've tried reaching out to them. Of course, felt like we didn't get anywhere. And of course, I know this is the usual thing, but, you know, they point fingers at, oh, well, maybe your dad, because a lot of people think, oh, well, Trisha, you're just trying to defend him because he's your dad and you're only seeing one side. And I'm like, no, I see all sides. You know, he's deceased. He can't defend himself. If he was here, it'd be a different story. I always say that.
Each of Donna's children has struggled to find answers about what happened to their mom in their own way. Though they all agree on one thing, their family deserves to know what happened to her, even if she did choose to leave, as unlikely as that seems. Trisha told us about the reasons she continues to search for answers, nearly 3 decades after she last saw her mom.
I have 2 sisters that want to know what happened. You know, my grandfather, which is my dad's father, has always been adamant about this case. He wants to know what happened to her. That's his wish before he dies. He's 82 years old, you know. If I could fulfill that for him, that would be wonderful. But I just really wish people would, you know, look at the whole picture and not just think automatically that, you know, her husband did something. If she was unhappy and everything between them, that's one thing. He would have never hurt her or done anything to hurt her. The main person who we've always thought that did something to her has been Jerry Hall. I've never had anybody else in my mind that I would think would have done something to her. There's other people who say the same. So we just want answers. That's all. I just feel like we at least deserve some sort of closure on it, especially when you think she just left. You know, when you think she just left you, of course, that really does damage you over the years. And that we've had to deal with that back and forth, especially me. Is she dead? Is she alive? It hurts you. You know, did she just walk out on us? Did she just really not care that much? And I have kids of my own now. I have a little girl that's about to turn 2 tomorrow, and I couldn't dream in a million years leaving her or leaving any of them. So it really makes you think from different perspectives as you get older as well.
Miranda shared with us what her feelings are on resolving her mom's mysterious disappearance.
I think Trisha's more worried about trying to see what happened, to have closure and kind of show people, hey, like our dad had nothing to do with it. Whereas me, I'm kind of want to know if she passed away and I want justice. I try to remain positive and I'm like, I want to know what happened. But at the same time, I kind of feel as though I'm content. I'm very open-minded. I think I'm the most open-minded of us kids. I think that if she wanted to go, then she wanted to go. And if she wanted to make that possible, I mean, I really think that anything is possible. I don't close my mind to any of the answers because I don't know. I don't know for sure the facts that's been told to me. I don't know if they're true. I don't know if they're not true. I wasn't there I mean, I was there, but I wasn't old enough to really recognize anything. So I think that that's why I am so open-minded.
Donna's second daughter, Melissa, has some challenging feelings when it comes to thinking about what happened to her mom. And she shared those feelings with us fairly openly when we asked her how her life has been affected by her mom's absence.
Yeah, I've got a lot of animosity towards her. There's really nothing good that I remember that has her name attached to it whatsoever.
I think I would drive myself crazy trying to think, like, how can a mother willingly leave their children for so long?
Like, I'm old enough now to see how things have affected me and why they affected me, and are going through counseling and things like that. And there is a lot of stuff that they have dug up that stem from her, you know, and how I parent and how I think and how I relationship. I mean, every part of my life, from the time I open my eyes to even in my dreams sometimes to, you know, whenever, is constantly something that she has done to me to cause things, or her leaving us the way she did has caused me to be this type of way, whether it be how much of a, you know, good wife I am. I don't know how to, I have that attachment that I can't do. I can't fully attach to somebody because I don't know what it feels like to do that. And when I do have, you know, somebody around that I can attach to, when they are trying to show me, I guess, that love that I'm missing, I destroy it. I really don't care one way or another what she's doing. I only want the answer for my grandfather.
But Trisha, Donna's oldest daughter, thinks there's a fairly reasonable explanation for why Melissa has differing feelings about Donna, and respects that she's processed the loss of their mother in her own way.
And Melissa was 5, and she would cry. I remember she would cry and cry and cry when my mom first became missing. So I do think she probably took it a lot harder. Maybe perhaps she was closer to my mom, and I think in a sense she was, because I do remember when my grandparents would come and like pick us up, my mom would be Melissa. She would always say, no, Melissa's staying with me. So, you know, I do think, and I think Melissa felt that. And even though she holds bad feelings towards her, I think deep down it hurt her a lot worse than it did us because of a bond they had, you know, if that makes sense. I was always the mother figure once my mom disappeared. So maybe she resents her for that because she, you know, I was the new, I guess you could say, quote unquote, person in charge instead of her. And she's mad at her and for leaving. And we just have different perspectives.
One of the aspects of Donna's case that stood out to us was how well Donna's daughters have handled all of the traumas in their lives. When we spoke with Miranda, she told us how she and her sisters have all grown into strong, successful women, despite the enormous losses they have experienced.
I feel like if we find out what happened, that's awesome. And I want justice if anything bad, you know, someone else caused it. But at the same time, I kind of feel like if she left, then she did what she did. And we grew up, we had a hard childhood growing up, but it made us to who we are today. We're all 3 successful. We have amazing children. We all are married and we're living our lives fine. So it's not something that broke us. But listen, we could have all been strung out on drugs. We could have all went to prison. We could have all killed somebody ourselves. We could have gone down a very dark path, but we didn't. We're all here. We're all married. We're all, Melissa's in school. Trisha's a homemaker. I have a job. I've been to school. Like, we've all done so well for ourselves. It's not that we're not broken. It's just that we have dealt with having to be strong for so long that that's all we know. I think when I was younger, I just kind of bottled it up. I mean, of course, I would cry if I was sad, or I'd handle things internally. Now that I'm a mother myself, I struggled really bad with postpartum depression with my second son. I struggled with my first son, but I kind of hid it away because I was worried. I was a first-time mom. I was just kind of like, I'm just going to deal with this the way I know how, and I'm just going to internalize it, and that's it. With my second son, I had really bad during pregnancy depression and even after. And I spoke to a therapist and the therapy was amazing. I mean, I don't go anymore because I've learned, you know, the things that she had taught me, I'm kind of doing them myself, talking when I need to talk, getting my feelings out when I need to get them out, and knowing that I can't control everything and not everything is going to be perfect. Because my biggest issue was growing up without a mother, and then for the second portion of my childhood into my adulthood, I'm growing up without my father too. So I didn't know what it looked like to be a good mother. I was worried that every little thing that I did was just wrong. Speaking to my therapist really helped me understand that I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm not, you know, terrible at being a mother, but everybody has their faults. Try your hardest to not let it define you. Just because you're growing up in a situation that's not ideal doesn't mean that you can't come through and just be successful. Don't let it get you down to the point where you're beating yourself up about it constantly. You can always rise up and come through.
Donna's oldest daughter, Trisha, bore most of the burden of being both a parent to her younger sisters, as well as coping with the loss of both of her parents and other family members in a close period of time. Trisha told us how grateful she is for the time that she did have with her family, as well as for the network of family and support that surrounded them growing up.
We have a lot to thank my dad. He raised us. He continued to take care of us to the end. And my grandparents, which is his father and his mother, they helped us tremendously, that's the grandfather I'm taking care of now in hospice. So we have nothing but them to thank for that. My dad passed away in 2006. Then my aunt, she passed away unexpectedly at age 46 in 2012. And 6 weeks later, my grandmother, which was their mother, passed away. So, I mean, it's kind of like a roll off our back type thing. Don't get me wrong. We get upset. But we're so used and accustomed to it. It's almost scary and weird in a way. It really is.
So what happened to Donna Gibson in the middle of the night while everyone was sleeping in the early morning hours of February 25th, 1995? Why were their pillows carefully aligned on the couch where Donna should have been sleeping? Did Donna do this to sneak out and conceal that she had left? Or could this scene have been staged? If Donna did choose to step outside that evening to speak with Jerry, as he would later tell the police, what happened when they spoke? None of the belongings that Donna would have taken with her are missing, only the nightgown she was wearing when she went to bed. She didn't even take the things that she would need right away, like her glasses or cigarettes. It seems as though if she left willingly, she only intended to be gone for a short period of time. We know that the police initially focused their investigation on Donna's husband. You've heard other stories we've shared where the missing person's spouse is the immediate focus of the police investigation. And this makes sense in many cases. It's understandable why they looked at her husband, Jimmy, because a spouse who recently learned that their wife had been cheating could be harboring resentment over the betrayal. We don't know enough about Donna's marriage, her husband, or what else may have been going on in her life to rule out any possibility. Donna's family states that the police ruled out her husband as a suspect prior to his death 15 years ago. But it's only fair to examine all possible avenues as to what may have happened to Donna. Our research was not able to exclude anyone, and law enforcement didn't make any statements to us regarding the investigation into Donna's disappearance. Is it possible that Donna left on her own and just wanted out of the life that she had with her husband Jimmy and the kids? Could she have remained off the radar for so long? Or was her disappearance connected to her affair? Did a physical altercation take place between Donna and Jerry Ray Hall that night? Does that explain the strange confession of sorts that Jerry's brother would later make to Donna's daughter, Melissa? Jerry Ray Hall is currently incarcerated until 2028 in a Virginia state prison on unrelated charges. Donna's family holds out hope that law enforcement will continue to look into his possible involvement and explore all the possibilities regarding what may have happened to her. At the end of this story, we're left with two mysteries. One is what happened to Donna so many years ago. The other is who Donna Gibson really was. This was a unique situation for us. We only had Donna's daughters to speak to about her, and they were so young when she disappeared, they hardly remember her, if at all. So many people in the family have since passed away. We sought out friends of Donna and made contact with one, but were never able to reach them for an interview. We're left to wonder what kind of person Donna really was. Was she a loving mother who was just unhappy in her marriage and strayed? Did this unhappiness lead Donna to a dangerous person who couldn't bear that she ended their relationship and took her life because of it? Or was Donna someone who would have up and left her family behind in the middle of the night? These are some of the many questions that her daughters have been grappling with for decades, as they've grown up and become mothers themselves. At the time of her disappearance, Donna K. Gibson was 32 years old. She was approximately 5 feet tall and weighed around 120 pounds. She had blonde hair and blue eyes. Donna was last seen wearing only a nightgown, which has never been found. If you have any information about the disappearance of Donna Gibson, please call the Louisa County Sheriff's Office at 540-967-1234.
I've struggled a lot over the years. Like, did she just leave us? Things like, and I'm going to be honest, you know, I hate her if she left us. How could she do that? How could she do that to my dad? And from what I've learned recently through her friend, she kind of was like, no, your mom really loved you guys. She, you know, she really loved y'all. She liked being a mom, this and that. It kind of like struck a chord emotionally for me. I feel like a lot of times we've been looked over like, oh, well, she was cheating on your dad. Sorry, guess what she, you know, and I'm like, no, like that's not. As much as I love my dad, no matter, you know, what happened, we want to know the truth. We don't want to put a label on her, and that's not fair.
That brings us to the end of episode 284. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be covering a case from New Hampshire. Thanks for listening. Hey Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter Federal Agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.